Book of Psalms 69. Psalm 69. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, for your people, Lord, that you have called by name to give us an inheritance, to give us victory over even our enemies, to help us when we're persecuted, when we're down, when we're depressed, when we're lonely. You have words of life. You speak to us through the Holy Spirit of God. We love you. Bless this portion today and our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches after it. In Jesus' name we have. Yeah, school lunches, peanut butter and jelly today. Okay. Psalm 69. This was a cry from David, a cry for help. And I even thought of the song that we sang to begin with, that I cried and you answered. What, you know, this is amazing. Have you ever cried out to God? I mean, seriously. Because he'll answer that. When we cry within ourselves, there's no answer, because the only thing you have is yourself. But when we cry out to God, we get answered. We get answered by God. And this is a cry, and this is a cry of despair in the time of persecution. Persecuted by people, persecuted by his enemies. And this is what David is dealing with in this psalm. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to take the first four verses, and I hope God speaks to your heart today. Verse 1, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. They would destroy me. Being my enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." So I want to look, and I want you to think about this progression that takes place during this trial. Many believe that David was even put in a well at this time, and floods of water came upon him while he was in mire, mire is quicksand. It's quicksand. So he's going down and water's coming in. He's going down and water's coming in. And then he's surrounded like in a position of a well. So he's encaved. He's surrounded. Not too much space. Claustrophobia comes to my mind. And you know, a lot of people say, well, this could be just a spiritual thing and it not physically happened. But, you know, in Jonah chapter 1, it says, water came in that my life was taken away from me. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is very possible and what can be done. So these waters, and if you want to think of it spiritually, you know, that's fine too. But I think this actually physically happened to David. And as the waters first came in, and, you know, sometimes in our lives, problems come in and they start just with a trickle, you know, just a little bit. But, you know, I can notice that it's a problem. I notice it's a situation, but it's no big deal. And that's like the beginning of this. Waters are just starting to flow in. They're just starting to come into my life. But it's got a purpose. And it says the purpose is my soul. Man in 1 Thessalonians 5. Is made up of body, soul, and spirit. All three. the study in psychology, and we talked about this, me and Steve, in the rehab. Psycho means the soul. Logia means the study of. So it's the study of the soul. But the problem with psychology is they can't address the spirit of man because they don't know it. And if, especially if they're not saved, then they for surely don't know it. But psychology is, and maybe, Doctor, you can correct me later if I'm wrong on this, but how my study was in psychology, I always learned that it was a not exact science. Because how do you put a measurement on fear? How do you put a measurement on worry? How do you know what each person is going through when they fear or they worry or they have stress or they have anxiety? How do you measure those things? And you really can't. But God knows us because God created us. So the first waters that are flowing in, that are coming in, they're coming into my soul. And this is something to think about. And I think this is a lot of times with a lot of trials and a lot of issues that we go through, our soul is affected first. And our soul makes up our mind. So this is thoughts that are coming. This is water that's coming in and making me to think about it into my mind. It's our heart. It's our emotions. My emotions are starting to get affected through this trial that I'm pushed down into a well and I'm worrying about that. But it comes into my mind. It comes into my thought process, my feelings. I'm feeling this. I know that I'm in danger. I can comprehend that. My awareness, which is another part of my soul, is picking that up, that I'm in danger. I'm in danger. And my emotions start to react. My emotions start to try to respond. But it's in an area where I can't help myself. There's all the worrying in the world is not going to change this situation. And this is a good thought to think of. We worry about so many things, and that worry has no effect on the results. Do you think it does? Do you think your worrying and your being anxious and your fear will change the situation? It usually does not. As a matter of fact, it adds more to it, because now I'm stressing under it, and I'm reacting to it, and I'm not comprehending on what is coming on. So in verse 2 it says, I sink deep into my miry clay, and there is no standing. I've come into deep waters. So now the floods are starting to come in, and the floods are starting to overflow me. And now I'm getting more anxious, and my emotions are at full tilt right now. Then what happens is it starts to affect me physically. It starts to affect me physically. This is where in verse 3 he says, my throat is dry. My eyes can't see. It's affecting aspects of my physical body now. This pressure that is coming in, I'm now emotionally, it's messing me up. But now physically, it's starting to wear me down. To the point where I can't see, I can't swallow. Things are happening. And really here, if you look at this, it says, I can't even stand. I can't stand. I got no strength in my legs. I'm weak in my legs. I'm weak in my standing. And it's like we have no foundation. And believers need a foundation. And without a foundation, your standing becomes weak. And it's like you're in quicksand, which means you're going down. You've got no foundation to even stand upon. The world will present you all these things which can support your life, but those are just lies, and you never can stand upon anything that the Satan or the world system throws at us. It's not stable, and we've been in all many situations of our life, and none of them are stable. You know, we go from relationship to relationship to, and none of them are stable because there's not God between you. If Christ is not in it, it's an unstable situation. There's no standing. You're going down, and the waters are going to keep coming. So your emotions are still going to feel the effects. Your mind is playing with you. Your thinking is not right. And your foundation and your standing and your members of your body are becoming weakened. You know, and I see a lot of that happen. A lot of times before physical problems, and there's many, that we go through an emotional instability in our own lives, too. So you've got two things going on there. And then I love verse 4. It says, so that now he goes to the ones that are persecuting him, or those who have put him in this position. And he said, they hate me without a cause. They hate me without a cause. And there's no reason for what they're doing. And they can't back what they're doing. And there's no, you know, none of the, there's no support here at all. But that they're persecuting. And many of us go through, you know, great persecution. And many of us in the future is going to go through greater persecution. The church as a whole goes through great persecution. There's persecution to the individual body members. You know, Jesus quoted this psalm in John 15:25. He said, they persecuted me without a cause. And look what they did to Christ. They brought false accusations, false witnesses, testimonies that never lined up. And it was without, there was no reason for them doing any of that. And he just was silent as a lamb before his shears, and he opened not his mouth. He could have defended himself. There was no cause for this. And that led all the way to the cross, where he was crucified without a reason from man's point of view. This was in all of God's plan, but man had no cause of being in this and being involved in doing this. You know, I think about even this standing too. You know, I just want to go back a little bit. I think about this standing, and we're weak in this. And the Bible says for us in Ephesians 6 to stand against the wiles of the enemies. We're to be strong. We're to stand. We're to have this power in our, and the legs stand for the power within man. And we're to stand against that. But sometimes we can't even stand against this because we've been weakened so bad. And we've allowed things to come into our lives. So Jesus said, they hate me without a cause. And you think about that because he loved us with a cause. We hated him without a cause. When we were enemies with Christ, he died for us, the Bible said. He loved us while we were hating him without a cause. He loved us with a cause, with a purpose, with a plan. God loved us to the end because he has a plan for those that would accept Christ as their personal Savior. He died upon the cross. He died upon the cross for your sins and my sins. He did that. While we rejected him, while we had no cause to hate him. To hate him. He loved us. It's incredible. He loved us with a cause. I just want to give two verses here and we'll wrap this up. So David is continuing to feel the pressures of this despair and this persecution. And in verse 13, he says, O God, in the multitude of mercy, hear me. The truth of thy salvation. And in verse 16, he says, hear me, O Lord, for the loving kindness is good. Turn me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. All this situation is still coming into his life. And he turns to God to hear him and to turn unto him. To hear him and to turn unto him. And God has these multitude of mercies. That's amazing to think about. Because it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. And a lot of people, as we knock on doors and talk to them, they said, oh, I can't go into the church, you pastor. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but I do know what Christ has done. And what Christ has done is so much greater than what you think you have done. And if there's forgiveness in all things, but not in forgiveness for the thing that you have done, then Christ died in vain. He paid the price for the whole world. For everything, every sin, every thought, every activity that we've done, that we turned against God and we went our own way in our own lives. Christ paid for that. Paid for the sins of the world. Not all the world will accept that. Mm-hmm. Many will still turn away from him. But it doesn't mean he didn't pay for their sins. Mm-hmm. It's a once and for all sacrifice in Hebrews chapter 10. And because of that, there's a multitude, a number so great you can't even count, of mercy for you. You are guilty. And God gives you mercy. Amen. It's going to court and the judge says, you're guilty. But no penalty. You can walk away. I just want to let you know you're guilty. But there's going to be no sentence today on your life. Multitude of mercies. Always available, always ready, always at hand. At any time of any failure, any sin, any iniquity, any thought, any process of wrongdoing, multitude of mercy is presented before you. Mm-hmm. Always available. In verse 32, he says, the humble will see this. Ain't that amazing? Mm-hmm. That grace and mercy come through humility. Comes through humility. They're going to see this. They will see this and they're going to be glad. And their heart shall live, I think it says, before God. Their heart will live before God. We all go through difficult situations in our lives where the floods of water come flowing in upon us. And I become like an emotional basket case. Let me tell you this. Look at this. Okay, so the floods are coming in and it's attacking my soul. It's attacking my soul. My emotions, my feelings, my mind, my thinking, my awareness, my conscious mind. And then floods are going to attack my physical body. But look what David says here. This is so good as I end this. Where is it? Yeah, verse 3. Look at this. He says, I'm weary from crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail. Look at this. While I wait for God, while I wait for my God, he personalizes, he internalizes it. See, man can do anything against the body. He can attack the body. Sometimes the enemy can attack our emotions and our feelings. But they can't attack the new creation. Amen. They can't. And David knew this. Hey, look at all this that is happening to me today. But you know what? God's in control of this. I'm just going to wait upon him. I don't need to respond or react to the circumstance or the situation. I don't even need to make it known. I don't need to complain to others of what I'm going through and how difficult life is. Because you know what? There's a new creation within you if you've accepted Christ. You've got a new creation.
The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. And God is concerned about your new creation, the new man or woman that lives within you. That's what He's concerned about. And that new man and woman that is within you, as you receive that as a free gift, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians 1:13, is growing new day by day. It's getting to know God every moment of every day. You can stand in the situation, or like David did, you can wait upon God in it. Because that's what is going to magnify God. Your flesh and your soul will have problems and difficulties, but the new man praises God. Every situation they're in, they're going to praise God. They're going to find a way to give God the glory. Whatever you're going through, whatever the water is coming into your life, the new creation, the spirit of man, is going to look for a way to praise God in it. This is the trial of our faith. This is what we learn to find God in. We learn to find God in that situation. I'm not going to praise the situation. I'm not going to praise my body decaying and being broken and hurting and the pain. No. I'm going to look for God. I'm going to look for Christ in my spirit. My spirit man communicates with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's going to enforce and encourage and build up my human spirit. Because if you don't know by now, you're all getting older. And you're all breaking down. And you're all more and more. But the new creation, as it hears the word of God, is getting renewed day by day. It's learning about God. And because that's eternal. That's eternal. The body is temporal. It's a temporal housing of the Holy Spirit until Christ comes back. That's all it is for. This is why He said, so honor God even in your bodies, you know, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. That's what our body is for. But it's the spirit, man. It's the new creation that lives within us. And David even found it buried in a well, flowing with water, sinking in quicksand. It'd make anybody go into shock. And he says, I'll just wait on God here. He says, I'm crying to you, God. This is pretty desperate. But my life is in your hands. My life is still in your hands. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. And we want to continue to think about our children and the young people that are in this body. Lord, the Word of God is so fresh and so new. And our enemy persecutes us and our enemy goes after us. But God will deal with them. We don't need to pay back. We don't need to pay back. You know, that's another thing he said in that verse. He said, I have had to pay back that which I have not took. Look up here one moment. Look at that. Yeah, this just came. He says, I had to pay back that which I did not take. And think about this. Christ became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He paid back that which he did not do. Christ never sinned, but he paid for it. He paid for your sin and my sin. He didn't have to, but he paid for it willfully. He paid for our sins, even though he did not sin. What a Savior we have. Thank you, Lord. I think that's in verse 4. Psalm 69, verse 4. So, Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the Word of God, the body of Christ. Like-minded individuals. Like-minded. To have the mind of Christ. To have our mind renewed. So our emotions are not out of whack. to think with God is possible. So if somebody here today has never accepted Christ, they don't know that they can have eternal life freely. Salvation's a gift. You don't earn it, deserve it. It's given to you free in Ephesians 2:8. Just accept Christ in your heart. He loved you. He loved you to die for you. He died on the cross for just you, if you were the only one here. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, for I'm a sinner. I receive the Holy Spirit now into my life. And because of this, I have eternal life. In Jesus' name, if somebody has done that for the first time, just lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Accept Jesus. Accept Christ today. Thank you, Father. Bless the offering. Bless the rest of our wrap. Bless our children, Father. You have put them in our care. To care for them. To watch over them. To teach them. To guide them. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Also, I'd like you to keep in prayer, Winnie. He